Picture at Los Angeles 2024.
Oh, welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever gonna need to listen to. Who am I? Who is this gorgeous creature that stands before you? I just did my nails. I am H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
They look great. I'm Carrie Doherty. And today we're doing another Golden Rewind, where we go back and rewatch our favorite episodes of The Golden Girls and offer new insights since we first started breaking down these episodes way back in 2014. And wowie, wowie, we're so excited. We just rewatched season 4, episode 23, Rites of Spring. Mm. H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines, do you want to tell everybody why we picked this episode?
Oh, you know, no reason. I mean, with just sort of a casual reason. Who knows? We just felt like watching it again. Lies. That's all lies. We have a special, special guest coming on to the Patreon. So you have to subscribe to the Patreon to hear the full interview. But we'll play a little snip of our chat with the one, the only, Miss Yvonne herself, Hillary Shepherd. Round of applause, round of applause, round of applause. Oh my God, we didn't talk about this, but I think I teased on a past episode how much I love our upcoming guest, and she's just the type of person that I am obsessed with. She's a little kooky, she's kind of all over the place. She's the definition of the type of person who moves to Los Angeles from wherever they came from, because everyone in LA is basically not from here. And they come here for a dream, and they just stay that sort of creative, kooky, interesting person. And she's out here with her famous best friend, Daryl Hannah. She's also friends with a lot of other people. She's not just friends with Daryl Hannah, but she mentions Daryl Hannah in our chat, and we talk about Daryl Hannah a little bit. And they have some exciting things coming out as well, so we can listen to that in the chat as well. But it was so much fun talking. I met her at Golden Con, the first Golden Con, and she had only met me as Sadie Pines, so I didn't look like the mess that I am today.
Look great.
Well, I feel like my hair, we both were talking about our hair being like,
I can't shower properly because I sprained my knee, so I'm having some troubles. But
you have a legitimate reason. But you look great as well. Well, and that also gets me to the point of that you can watch these now. So of course you can watch them on Patreon. If you go to our Patreon, you'll get them on the Wednesday the episode drops. But you can also watch them on our YouTube. So go subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's just at Out on the Lanai. And you can see us on YouTube the Monday after the episode drops. So like that's when all the episodes will be uploaded to YouTube. So go there.
Yes. And I do want to talk about Hillary for a second. She was so fun and funny and gorgeous, by the way.
Gorgeous.
Huge, huge crush. I'm Yvonne. This is it. Like, I was like, I'm feeling all the whirly birds here. Mm-hmm. She was so much fun to talk to. She remembered so
Yvonne.
Much about.
I am gay for Yvonne. I'm gay for Hillary, and I'm gay for Yvonne. I'm a lesbian.
We definitely asked her what it was like to wear the black and pink like spandex, like super those high cut from the 80s, and they did it on Baywatch, like that has to hurt your vagina kind of thing.
I could never, because if I wore one of those, I would have these like. Like, I would have little pillows that little kittens can sleep on if they laid on me. Like, that's my fat would give them little pillows to lay on if I wore an outfit like that.
You have to have some kind of body to get away with that kind of look.
And Hillary still has that body.
Yeah. Well, she's gorgeous. She's so gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
She had so many fun memories from the set. She talked about what her audition was like. One of the Golden Girls made a really kind gesture on set. Mm-hmm. She talked about what it was like working while pregnant on Power Rangers, which a lot of other people know her from Power Rangers. And she also, I don't want to say who it is, but she talked about a big celebrity who actually instructed the aerobics classes that Hillary was taking at the time when she got the gig. Like, she literally bounced from an aerobics class to the audition, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
So you, like H. Allen / Sadie Pine said, you will hear a little bit of the interview at the end of this episode after we recap Rites of Spring. Mm-hmm. But then to get the full interview, you can join the GG VIP Club at patreon.com/ Golden Girls Podcast at the $8 a month tier, which is our Miami Program Museum Director Plan.
Well,
so that's
if you need a reason to join the Patreon, which I mean, you know, we should be reason enough. But if you need a reason to join the Patreon, A, you're joining a fantastic little community. We do so many fun things, and everyone over on Patreon, the comment threads are like popping over on the Patreon. Like,
I do love our comment threads.
I love everyone who's subscribed. Everyone is so nice to each other, and we're just loving the Golden Girls there, which I love. But also, if you need a more of a reason, watch this episode on YouTube the Monday after it comes out. You'll see how amazing Hillary is, our dynamic with Hillary. And if you watch that chat with that little chat that we're going to include in this episode, if you watch that chat with Hillary and you don't then want to immediately go over to patreon.com/ what is it? I don't like Golden Girls Podcast. Thank you. Golden Girls Podcast. Then, I just don't know. So yes, it's she's a fantastic person, and we're having more people coming on the podcast in the weeks to come. So yes, lots of fun stuff.
And then also today, if you're in the GG VIP club, you're getting a new Rusty Anchor Happy Hour, where we are playing.
You have to say
the Rusty Anchor Happy Hour. I'm gonna mix a margarita in a sailor's mouth. Today we are playing Golden Girls Mad Libs. So we're going to have a little drink skis and play Golden Girls Mad Libs and see how wild that gets.
I have some delicious wine available ready for me to do that. So I'm
going to need a drink as well. Yeah, we're going to have to get popping.
How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm good. I talked about this. So we just had another live watch along with everyone, and it was so much fun. And I needed to have a live watch along with our GG VIP Patreon members because I needed it. I sprained my knee. I think I did it playing with little Oreo. This is Stan texting me right now, asking me, speaking of my baby, Stan is texting me, asking me if I want to say goodnight or if am I doing the podcast. Give my baby a kiss for me. No, it's a whole goodnight thing. I've got a setup right here. I'm like boxed into my closet. I have a little table with a pillow with my leg up on it.
I like how you with a hurt knee, you getting up from having a hurt knee is just me getting up in general. Like that's just like what I would look like, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. It's I'm totally fine. It's just it's been a little difficult to kind of maneuver around on crutches, and I just feel bad because I can't put weight on my knee, so Stan is doing everything around, like cooking, taking care of the dog, the child, himself, me. So Stan is doing the Lord's work, and I just very much appreciate him. And I feel really bad because
Stan,
I know he's
pulling
very
a
tired.
Rose. Stan is pulling a Rose. Rose is the one who would always do that. She would always and sometimes to the point of overextending herself. We know that episode. And this week, Stan is the rose. So I think Stan deserves a rose. Here's a virtual rose to Stan. I'm gonna text him a rose.
You should text him a rose.
And he's gonna be so confused when I do that.
Yeah, probably. But he'll he'll be like, well, they must be talking about me on the podcast. That's all.
I love it. I needed the watch along too the other night because I have had such a stressful sort of like past few weeks, really. And just with so much going on and so much happening. And so it was nice to sort of like take a moment to sort of relax and just watch an episode with friends and just sort of like be chill. And we found out too that they were airing the episode we were watching, which was, what was it? Larceny and Lace. And Larceny and Old Lace. And you guys know I don't remember the details. But what was so great is like they were airing the episode while we were.
My crutch fell on the floor. If you just heard a loud bang, that was my crutch.
Are you going to be able to get up? Or are you stuck there? Are you like the old lady in the Help I Fallen and I Can't Get Up commercial?
No, I'm okay.
Wow. You need a life alert.
It was just loud.
You need a life alert bracelet.
I know. No. I'm okay. I'm sorry. Continue. I just wanted to, if anybody heard a loud boom, I just wanted to explain the noise.
We did. And I'm glad you're okay. No, but I needed that. It was a nice little watch along. And sometimes you just need, like, that's what I love about, you know, shows like The Golden Girls, but The Golden Girls in particular, that like, there are many times, I mean, I take antidepressants, and there are many times where I get anxious or overwhelmed or whatever. and you know, it, life gets hard. And I love the feeling of just being calm for a second, putting my phone down, not focusing on anything else, and just watching an episode of The Golden Girls that just makes me happy. Just makes me happy. And it just brings so much joy into that little 23 minutes of my day. And it doesn't necessarily take away the depression or make me happy or whatever, but it does sort of, like, you know, it distracts me for a little bit. And that distraction is nice and welcomed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really nice. I feel like we all say this, but like anytime any of us is ever feeling down, we just, like, you put on The Golden Girls. That's what we do. That's what this community
does. You know what else I do?
What do you do?
I do my nails.
Aww.
There is such a therapeutic mental break that I have when I get to do my nails, because it like, I can't do anything else. All I can do is just sit here, maybe watch a little TV, and just focus on, I can't use my phone. I can't get up. I can't go to the bathroom. I can't eat anything. I can't literally do anything because it would ruin it. And I got from this brand Hollow Taco, they have a new like ice cream sort of themed nail thing happening.
I love the name of that company.
Oh, I love it. You would love Hollow Taco nail polish. You would love Hollow. And little Oreo, when she gets a little bit older, is going to love you wearing Hollow Taco, because it's all like bright, fun. Like, I mean, there's some creams that are like just regular colors, but there's also like bright, glittery stuff that the kids
love.
My nieces love. So I always get any little kid in my life, I always get them, like teenagers, I get them the glittery Hollow Taco. But it's such a fun brand. I love it so much. And this one is like ice cream themed, and it just brings me joy.
I like ice cream themed nail polish. That actually sounds like that's like a really fun branding thing.
If you're watching this, you can see, I mean, I did the brown one because I'm weird and I like the brown nail polish, but like it's brown with like cookies and cream topper. And then I did a matte nail that's a little darker brown, but yeah, I love it. And this is sparkly.
You look really good.
I guess you can kind of see the sparkle. You can kind of see it.
I can see a little sparkle. I can definitely see that Oreo crumb. That looks really fun.
I love it. Yeah.
I love that.
I have to grow up my nails because, I'll plug, I'm doing a show next at Dynasty Typewriter on April 7th. So it would be if you're in Los Angeles, the Sunday this episode comes out, you can see me with John Arthur Hill, and I have to grow my nails out for it because, you know, drag. Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, drag.
Drag. Yes.
I love that. Well, your nails are looking fabulous.
Thank you.
Before we take a break, I did want to mention something I discovered earlier today, and I texted this on our GG VIP chain. This episode, which was written by, I believe this was like a freelance script, so this was probably someone who wasn't on staff but who just pitched an episode, his name's Eric Cohen. This episode, Rites of Spring, the first draft or the second draft of it was called Fat City.
Oh,
that was the name of this episode
because they had to lose weight. Or they,
yeah, which I do want to talk about, and like we'll get into it, but like I love that they did an episode about like women of a certain age trying to stay youthful, trying to stay in shape. And so I loved that aspect of it. But when these women step on this, it's like the scale broke. It's like they're weighing like Mars. The way these women react to the number on the scale, I was like, okay, everybody just lay off the gas a little bit.
I mean,
another, you know.
I do react that way to the scale, though. I mean, I let's be real. Like, I have gotten to the point where I only weigh myself at the doctor's office, so I can either be surprised or depressed. But if I'm at least if anything dramatic happens and I'm in a medical facility, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. When you weigh yourself at the doctor's office, you do have to take into account your clothes, your shoes. You know what I mean?
No, I'm like little Oreo 5 minutes after her bath. It's my naked time. It is my time. I take off everything I can take off.
You do when you weigh yourself?
Uh-huh. I'm like, let's do it. Let's get weighed. Because like we were talking before we started recording that little Oreo, it has 5 minutes of naked time running around her room before it's bedtime to sort of, and I do the same thing in my life. So
naked time. Everybody should have naked time.
When I weigh myself, when I weigh myself at home, it is naked time. But at the doctor's office, I will take off every, I remember last time I was there, I had like platform shoes on, like boots. And I was like, oh, those weigh as much as my, well, let's be real, pinky. And so so I took off the boots. Yeah.
Aww. Well, I think you look great.
Well, they, I mean, I know I look great. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm just saying is, like, I prepare myself to have the most accurate of reading because, you know, that's what I need. I need to know these things, but then I don't want to know them for another like 3 months until my next checkup.
That I totally get. Yeah. You're like, I don't need to be. Yeah, we can just do that a little bit later.
Yes.
Well, shall we take a little break and dive in? I love this episode so much. I'm so excited to talk about it.
I'm very ready. Let's take a little break, Ski Poos. Okay, you want to bring it back?
Yeah. And we are back talking about Rites of Spring, which is a vignette episode, which we absolutely loved. And since we've now learned from like seeing scripts, shout out to Jeffrey Carter, that
love Jeffrey Carter. Give him a little love.
Love you, Jeffrey.
Applaud for Jeffrey.
And all of your gorgeous Golden Girls collection. So we learned, though, from some of the scripts that Jeffrey has that belonged to Estelle Getty at one time, that they would shoot these vignettes along with other episodes. So, for example, like the week they're shooting Fiddler on the Ropes, they may have also shot the aerobics class scene with Yvonne. So, which
you know what I like about that?
Yeah.
Because it like, I mean, you have someone like Dorothy's hair, for example, and it's like, I mean, it's unlike Blanche and Rose in that, like, it always has the same shape. It molds. It's different. It's just, and I like that, like, in a vignette, it kind of does feel like a flashback because they obviously would look a little, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what's fun about that, that, you know, that they are shooting them on different days. And I also think I like to imagine myself sitting in the studio audience where they're shooting Fiddler on the Ropes and then the episode ends or even before it. And they're like, okay, studio audience. So we've got to basically shoot a little skit. And then you get to like see a little skit.
See,
and
I think love that about, that's
I think it's
the
really fun.
That, I mean, I knew that before I moved to Los Angeles and saw a live taping, but like I would see, I remember there was the one time I did Ellen and then they sat us like in the audience and like watched the rest of the show or whatever. And then they were like, oh, well, we're also filming an interview. I think it was with Anne Hathaway, actually, an interview for another episode. And so we're going to like just keep the same audience. And I was like, oh, I get to be on two episodes. And so, but
you
only
see
for
how the sausage is made,
but only for the Anne Hathaway interview. So you see, and then of course the way they edit it, like you see, it's just different. It's so funny to me how it's clearly a different audience when they do the cutaways, but yet you wouldn't register that watching it because you don't know that at home. Like you're not recognizing these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, I love that little tidbit about talk shows and how that's made.
Yeah.
Well, in the land of the GG, it is 2 weeks until their friend Phyllis's Memorial Day beach party when they're all going to have to slip into their bathing suits and they are stressed and they're all stressed. They've gained a few pounds and this is where they're all stepping on the scale. And I realized in the scene, seeing Blanche in her nightgown, like stepping on the scale with these kitten heels on, I'm sure I've maybe thought this before, but I was like, wait, these women always have their shoes on, even when they have their nightgowns on. They always have their shoes on.
Which I support. I don't. Maybe we're different, but I don't support home barefootness.
Why?
I think I just don't like it. I think I don't. I'm not one of those people that I don't. I think you need to take off your shoes walking to a home. I'm not that person. But I like having shoes on. I like having a slipper on. I like having. I don't like the sensation of my feet on the ground. I feel like it just gets my feet dirty and then I get every, and sure, like I want my shoes to be dirty, but I don't want my feet to be dirty. And so like, I don't know. I just think it's dirty to walk around barefoot.
That's interesting. But do you feel like you don't like to see other people walk around barefoot in their home?
I'm worried for their feet. I'm worried that they're dirty and that they're just dirty. It's just dirty.
Well, it's dirty if you're wearing your shoes in the house, because then you're getting the floor dirty. But if you don't, if you have a rule like take your shoes off at the door, then theoretically your floors won't be dirty.
Oh, there's
you'll be
dirty.
Wearing they'll shoes outside.
But the thing is like, yes, sure. There, I'm sure there's a process to it. I just don't like even if you are walking around barefoot and then you put socks on, then I'm like, your dirty feet are going into socks. Like, it's just like a process of dirtiness that I'm just sort of like, just wear like Crocs or something. You know what I mean? Like, I live in my Crocs at home. Those are my slippers. And I just.
Oh, yeah. You have house shoes.
Yes.
So maybe these women have house shoes. I mean, here's the thing. I feel like on sitcoms, everybody always wears shoes when they're home. I think of any sitcom and I'm like, oh, yeah,
because
I bet everybody's always wearing shoes.
It's an insurance liability on set.
Maybe. It might also just be weird if you're watching, like, you know, Monica and Ross and Phoebe and Rachel and all them, like, walk around the apartment in socks all the time. But
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. I wouldn't walk around in socks either. No.
So the women are all weighing themselves.
I wanted to ask about bathing suits. What's your go-to bathing suit?
I don't think I've worn a bikini since I've lived in New York.
Ooh, where would you wear a bikini in New York?
To the beach. There are beaches in New York. You know this. Mm-hmm. I like a sort of... Either if I were to do a bikini, like, I feel like Taylor Swift has worn these a lot, but sort of like a retro, like if the bottom's like high waisted and maybe the top is like a halter or just a cute, like kind of vintage looking one piece that like ties up around the neck. Like, that's kind of, you know, I like. And I always like having some kind of like big flowy, either like a really thin, like a button up, like a white linen button up to go over it. Just something big and flowy that I like, either like a muumuu kind of situation or something just to wear over it.
That's interesting. My go-to bathing suit, I mean, really my go-to bathing suit is a Starbucks 5 minutes from the beach because I don't do the beach. But
yeah, I was very curious to hear your answer because I figured you don't love the beach.
No, but my actual like dream bathing suit, if I did have to do a pool or a beach situation, it's also vintage as well. It's one of those like wool full body ones from the 1920s. You know what I mean? Like the ones that are just... I mean, it's just like, actually, not even that. I want the Victorian one.
I immediately saw stripes, by the way.
Yeah, of course. I want the Victorian one because, I mean, even that one's too much of exposure because your arms are out and everything. So I want, there's a great film with Judi Dench called Mrs. Brown, and there's a scene in it where she goes swimming and they actually wheel her. She has a little house, right? That they like, it's like a little trailer that they wheel her down to the beach and they put the trailer like into the beach with steps that go into the water. So she never even has to actually touch the beach. She goes from house to water and she is fully covered. She's fully covered head to toe from like literally neck to toe. And then her face, only her face is exposed. And it's like, she has a little hat on and that's my dream bathing suit and Ben beach situation as well. I want to be pushed into the water fully clothed.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I hope that you get that someday because that means you've probably got a lot of money.
Probably.
Well, I do want to get right to Yvonne's workout class because this whole scene I loved so much. It gave us one of my favorite Bea Arthur gifts, which is her doing jackhammers.
Mm-hmm.
I also love... And I have two clips that I want to play from the scene. If it were up to me, we would have just played this entire scene because it just has so many great jokes and it's so funny. And Hillary is so great in it. But if you, and I'm not going to get into it because you're going to have to listen to the full interview on Patreon. But knowing now what we learned about Hillary back in the day, when Rose says that Blanche thought Yvonne was a lesbian, totally new meaning for me.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? Yes.
I do.
So I was like, oh my gosh, we should have brought that up with her because of what we later learned.
Yeah.
But okay, now we do have to play a couple Yvonne moments because, oh my God, these jokes are just so funny.
They're so good. Oh my gosh, should we play the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yvonne, we are desperate women. You've got to help us.
I know just what you need. Aerobics.
Oh, my God.
I do.
But the hair. Yvonne, you're much younger than they are.
I know you love aerobics. It stretches every muscle in your body.
Honey, I've been stretching this body for years.
Blanche, sticking your feet out of the sunroof of a Chrysler New Yorker doesn't count.
Sticking your feet out of the sunroof of a Chrysler New Yorker. That's
so
such
good.
A mouthful. B. Arthur delivered it so beautifully.
I mean,
like, it's so funny. And there's literally a joke a moment later that I was like, I'm just gonna have to pull this clip because it's so funny.
Yes, yes. Let me pull that one up for you.
Fine. You'll also need aerobic suits, warm-up outfits, wristbands, headbands, leg warmers.
Wait a minute. Leg warmers?
Well, you need something to keep your thighs warm. What are you using now?
Friction. That's why we're here.
The way in which I, throughout the years, have said that line as just a comeback line for so many different things about weight, it, like, that line is one of the most iconic lines in Golden Girls history, in my opinion.
It's so good. Friction. That's
and
why
I also
we're
love,
here.
I also love the way Hillary, wait, let me pull up a pin. I love the way Hillary is standing there with her pencil, and she has, I mean, anyone watching on YouTube or Patreon can see this, but like the way she's holding up her pencil and she's just like, you're going to need this and you're going to need this. And it's like almost an extension of her finger that she's just like checking off things in the air. She is so, so good. She is so good.
She's so good in this. And she did have such a meaty scene with these women.
We talked about that with her, which you'll hear on the Patreon chat, about how it is rare for someone who isn't like a big, big, big part of the episode to have that much screen time with the women and to be that involved in a scene. I mean, she's in two scenes here, like, which is a big deal for like a day player, basically.
Yeah. And she's so great in it. And yeah, she's so funny. And the women just shine around her. There's another when she's, you know, telling them what to get, where she's like, you know, well, you'll need sports bras to minimize jiggle and bounce. And Blanche goes, Yvonne, honey, I think you're missing the whole point of having breasts.
Which is so ironic.
I couldn't pull three clips. I
know.
But it's so funny.
Like, what's so funny about it is like, I love Blanche's confidence even in those moments, because Blanche is, we know this because she wanted to get her breast done, is not a well-endowed woman in the breast department. So she even has this fantasy of these jiggly little things plopping around. I mean, she's thinking she has got Dolly Parton boobies, and she has other talents, let's just say. I love that. I love that she's just even like, well, I got them. I might as well try to use them. I love it.
I also love when they are actually in like the sort of the workout room in their outfits, as you see them stretching, you can tell Rue McClanahan was obviously the most flexible because she can like really do like a split, which I think just happens to work really well for the character of Blanche.
Yeah.
But when her and Dorothy walk in those outfits, like Judy Evans, I have got to hand it to their costume designer.
Iconic.
Those are iconic.
Iconic.
We didn't see any of those looks at Golden Con, did we?
I'm sure they were there. We just didn't notice them or see them. But like, I mean, that is one of the looks. Those two looks. It's just so good. You know what's interesting about the dancing and the flexibility thing, which I always am surprised is, I mean, yes, we know that Blanche has a theater background, and oftentimes that involves like the training of dance movement and all of those things. So she probably had a lot of that in her career. But Betty White and B. Arthur did, and she could dance. And there's that great clip that from some show in the 1970s, I forget what, where B. Arthur and Betty White are doing like a tap dance routine. You know, I mean, that clip is pretty iconic, and seeing them do that, it just shows you all of the training that they've had as performers, that they weren't necessarily like Blanche or like Rue McClanahan, who was trained as an actor. Like, she was really trained as an actor, whereas Bea and Betty were trained as all around performers, as all around. You have to sing, you have to dance, you have to act, you have to do be a personality. All of these things that it shows. I love that. I love that old Hollywood sort of like training that these women had.
Yeah, you've got to do it all.
Yeah.
One thing.
You sounded like Valerie Cherish there.
Oh, you've got to do it all.
Gotta do it all.
Gene Stapleton. Yeah. Oh,
that's
I love
Woody
Valerie.
It's my Woody Allen.
So, do you ever work out in sweats like Rose did? Can you ever work out in sweats like that, like a sweatshirt and sweatpants?
No, in fact, whenever we're at like, because I mean, we go to Disney a lot and we shop the apparel. I hate sweat, like with the sweat material. I need the terry cloth. That's the sweat sort of material that I need. And I can work out in a terry cloth. I cannot work out in like a sweat situation.
I've seen people do it. Like I used to take spin classes and just like cardio kickboxing, and I would see people, and I understand like you sweat more and that's good for you or whatever. I need to be wearing the loosest like,
yeah,
barely fabric, like tank top with a sports bra, mm-hmm, and like 3/4 cut like yoga pants. That's all I can do, because I hate being hot when I'm working out, and I know that's like the point of it. But when I start to feel hot, I start to like feel sick. So I always need to like, I would always bring like cold cloths and like ice and stuff with me. Anyway, just seeing Rose in that sweatsuit, I was like,
I like to wear like my shorts need to be like the sort of like almost like the bike shorts sort of, or not the bike, like the basketball short type material. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's called. And they need to be so baggy that like I almost have to be embarrassed across my legs because of like giblets hanging out. Like that's how baggy they need to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad I felt like you and I would be on the same page about that. I also want to mention, so when Yvonne does Whirly Birds, Jackhammers, Windshield Wipers, and Charlie Horse, if you love this moment as much as we do, our friend Chris Gallo, Golden Girls Posters, has a shirt that says Whirly Birds, Jackhammers, Windshield Wipers, and I think Charlie Horse as well. Mm. And it's really great. So go find Golden Girls Posters and get to Chris's link tree and buy that shirt, because it's absolutely amazing. Just the women, B. Arthur bouncing
up and
down.
We need to have him on the podcast.
We will.
Yes, we need to make that happen.
We will.
I think we were tweeting about that today. I don't remember what happened an hour ago, but I think we were.
Yes, let's do that very soon. Mm-hmm. The women jumping and jiggling, like, and honestly, B. Arthur looks like she's having a blast.
Can you jump?
Not right now, I can't.
Well, no, but like in general, when your knee isn't like messed up, can you jump?
Yeah, can you jump?
I don't think I can jump. I learned
really?
This because I was watching a recent episode of Survivor, and and there was a girl, a contestant, Mariah, on this season, the current season, who said it was like a jumping challenge, and she said she can't jump, and I was like, oh, I never thought about if I could jump. And then Charlie, another contestant, was like teaching her to jump, and then I was like, oh, can I jump? And I can like move my body off the ground, but I can't like do the whole like knee jump high, like a real jump thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I can do the whole like, ooh, you know, like, ooh, but I can't.
What kind
do the
of jump are you talking about?
I don't
what
know.
What's
but
the type of jump you can't do? Because I don't know that I can do this jump that you're talking about. What kind of jumping are we talking about?
Well, you know
about
the jump where you like kneel down and then you jump.
Like a long jump, like when you're competing in track and field, like that
sure
kind of jump.
I mean, I don't know what that is, but sure. Like, yeah, I mean, I know what track and field is, but I don't know like what the jump is. But like, but you know what I mean? Like where you have to like not like a, I don't know, I can't
like
stand
like
up,
when
so
like when you
anything
go to like sit down in a chair, like if you're going to do a back handspring, but instead you just jump forward.
Wow, that was a lot of words I don't get. But I what I mean like I mean
gymnastics.
Like I mean like I can do this. Watch. Okay, I'm going to jump here. I'm going to jump. If anyone watching, okay, you can see this. Okay. So I can like do this.
Yeah, you're standing and you jumped up off the ground and then your feet landed back down.
But I'm mm-hmm. but that's not a jump. That's more of just like a oh, you know. But like,
well,
I
no,
mean,
you
I
jumped.
Mean, I mean, people
your feet
who like come down low and then they go, mm-hmm, I can't do it. But like they do the whole like down low and then jump.
Can you send me a video of what you're talking about?
Sure, sure.
Okay, you send it. Well, we're gonna work on that on the break. Okay, so at the end of this, did you want to say anything else about the aerobic scene?
No, I need to join a gym, though.
Okay. it's so fabulous. Everything about it is so perfect. I loved it. So I, coming out of the aerobic scene and going back to the women in the kitchen, maybe other people notice this, but, and I don't know if you know this about me, but I have a superpower. And my superpower is and I'm sure other people have it, I'm not special, I can identify in a TV show or a movie any line that has been ADR'd.
Oh, for that those is who a don't superpower. Know,
ADR, automated dialogue replacement, where the audio, the voice is recorded afterwards and then put into the scene. And it's just, it's always because the background, the levels, everything, it just sounds different. It sounds like they're in a can almost. So at the end of that scene, you hear Blanche say, "All that money and we only went twice. Can you believe it?" And then Dorothy's like, "Ma, what are you cooking over there?" So they added that in later. And Rue McClanahan went into a booth on the soundstage somewhere because it sounds like they needed a transition back into the kitchen scene because it just sort of ends with, you know, Rose going, Charlie horse, and they're like, she's hurt. And they just needed something to like bring it back into the kitchen scene. So if you're listening, listen, because that is a superpower that I have. And Stan can't hear it. I can always hear it.
I don't know what my superpower is.
Mine's not very good. It wouldn't help in like a zombie apocalypse or anything.
No, I mean, I don't know what my superpower is. I'll think about that. And if I remember by the end of the episode, I'll let everyone know. Michael, do you know my superpower? He'll think about it.
Okay. You guys think about it.
Text me my superpower.
And you guys will hear way more about the aerobic scene when we hear from Hillary. But we do get into the next vignette, which is the women all decide maybe we need a new hairdo.
Michael said my superpower is being annoying. Maybe. Well. You know what? Maybe. Because the other day we had a situation with our Zoom during our Golden Girls watch along. And I was super annoying to the person on the Zoom end to fix the problem that was not my problem, but it was their problem. And I was so annoying to the point where the next day they were telling me, oh, you have to be such and such a level account. You have to pay like a certain amount in order to get that. And I was like, no, that's not how this is going to work. And I was so annoying that they got annoyed with me and they just said, yes, here's your file.
All right. Well, that could be a superpower.
So
not
maybe
a lot
it
of
is,
people...
maybe mm-hmm. it is a superpower. Yeah. On that, we should take a break.
All right, let's take a break and then we'll talk about getting new hairdos.
Ooh.
And we are back talking about Rites of Spring. So the women, then they talk about, you know, well, maybe we don't have to lose weight. Maybe we just need new hairdo. And we get into the salon for little old ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, this place is it's for little old ladies. We're not going to, because it's Sophia's place, you know. And they're about to leave when Mr. Patrick Vaughn himself, but this time as Eduardo, comes out. And these women, upon seeing him, they have like a real like Burt Reynolds, which one's the slut? Me moment that I want to play when Eduardo comes out.
Oh my.
All right, ladies, whose hair do I wash next?
Mine.
I'm first, I'm the dirtiest.
What I love about this scene is A, we get to see what's his name from the actor again, which is exciting. But also B, I love the concept of a salon. I love the concept of a salon being a salon in the old sense of the word, meaning that it's like a place where people can go and like get their beauty regimens done, but also talk and socialize and have conversations and sort of have like a salon-esque type situation. And I love that aspect of a salon. I also love that they're all horny for. I just love Blanche in this episode, this beginning of this so much.
When she says, I'm first, I'm the dirtiest,
honestly,
like the horniest I've ever seen her look.
Love her in this. Like, I never related to Blanche more than in that moment.
I have two thoughts. I have three thoughts, actually. One is, I agree with you. I love a salon. I love going to the salon and being under the dryer, and I read magazines.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when they opened Beauty Bar in Park Slope, where you could go and, like, get your nails done, and I think your hair done, and it was also a bar. I think Ooh. It was called Beauty Bar. It was a really fun place in Park Slope.
Fun.
I don't know if it's still there. Mm. And, my other thought was, I feel like every time we talk about the little old lady salon scene, I always think it's Laszlo who plays Eduardo. And I always, yeah. instead of Patrick Vaughn. But I realized when I watched this one, it's because, one, Patrick Vaughn is kind of doing an accent, like a British transatlantic something. You know what I mean? He's doing mm-hmm. something. And then he does this really big speech about, like, what I do to a woman and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about all their attributes. No, you're the vixen. And I was like, oh, that's like what Laszlo does when he's talking. And he even says something about molding them like clay.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, now I know why I always think it's Laszlo and not Patrick Vaughn that plays Eduardo. Because you know me, I like to always try to be accurate. I feel mm-hmm. like I remember actors' faces and names and stuff, even though his name, his real name is eluding me right now. But I just wanted to say, for anybody else who was like, oh yeah, Eduardo's the guy in Rites of Spring, it's now we or Laszlo. Now we know why.
I always forget.
We think it's Laszlo.
I feel like I'm always surprised to see him again in this. To see what's his name, the actor in this episode, because I forget that he was in it twice. But because it's such like a small role to be in twice, you know what I mean?
I don't get it with him. Like when the women
mean?
Meet Mr. Burt Reynolds, like the like sometimes these women fawn over these men, and I'm like, really?
I mean,
really?
love is a strange thing, you know, like what tickles someone's fancy might not tickle another one's fancy. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they have. And also, too, I mean, think about it. He works with their hair. It's a very intimate thing to be rubbing someone's scalp.
Oh, I love getting shampooed.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
I love getting shampooed.
I hate getting my hair cut, though.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't like it. Although I do go to a really fun hair person here in Los Angeles, and she always surprises me with stories about adventures that that I don't see coming. There was one where I don't know if I should even share it, actually. It's so inappropriate. But it was her in Cuba with a cab driver, and at the end of the ride, she reveals that she's a trans woman, and just because of the encounter that they're about to have. And and he says, oh, I like a woman with a little flavor or something. Like he says something like sexy to her, and I'm just like, get it, girl, get it. But like she's just cutting my hair on Tuesday at 3 p.m. telling me the story, and I love it. I love her so much.
I love that. Those are the types of stories I want to hear when I'm at a salon.
Yeah.
Those are the types of stories that I want to hear. You know what I
mean?
It's part of the vibe.
You want the freaky, crazy things that you would never hear and would not be appropriate anywhere else. But at a salon, it's like, yes, tell me about that one situation.
The salon vibe. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That is what I want in a salon experience. I want to hear something and go, oh!
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want to say. Yeah. I also don't know how Eduardo makes any money when he is like he spends so much time just pontificating.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you got to start cutting some hair. Time
like
is
me.
Money.
He's like me on the podcast when it's like getting to be an hour almost that we've been recording. And it's like, oh, that was on me. Sorry.
Yeah. And you're texting me. You're like, we have to speed it up.
I know.
Like, well,
it's
who
all
decided
me.
To tell four stories about going on safari.
It's always me.
So no, I love it though. It's part of our dynamic. This is why people keep coming back. This is why we have our friends.
Yes.
So of course, all of the women come out of the dryers. They have Sophia's hairstyle. I thought the wigs looked really great because they were actually like all their hair color.
And
so
they actually kind of reminded me of a Blanche haircut from earlier in the
series.
Yeah,
I know. It kind of did.
Yeah.
So then the women are like, OK, well, maybe we're not going to lose weight. Maybe we're not going to get a new hairstyle. Maybe we just need a personality tune up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the third vignette which is like personality enhancing. And this one, to me, this was so forgettable. It yeah, to me, it actually feels like a deleted scene from another episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's Stan coming over. First of all, Stan in like jeans and a members only jacket. That's hot.
It is. It is kind of.
I enjoyed Stan in that outfit.
Yes, I agree. I think Stan has a sexuality to him that is often misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I thought he looked good, but I mm-hmm. was very bored during this. He comes over. He's talking about how he's in this like realizations group, and Dorothy's like, "It sounds like a scam," and mm-hmm. and it's like a whole thing. And then they kick him out. And then the women go into the kitchen.
Wait, can I just cut you off here for another random mm-hmm. tangent? But
please,
I'm this is podcast related, so it's relevant. I just realized that like whenever we get new listeners, or like on YouTube, if people discover our videos or whatever, or on Instagram or whatever it is, and they're watching and they're like, "Oh, I like the Golden Girls. Let's put these two on." And then they're like, "Oh, wow, they're weird." But they hear us saying. They hear us saying like Little Oreo or Stan, and they're brand new to the podcast, and we never give any clarification for who these people are. They're probably very confused because they're fans of the Golden Girls, and they hear you talking about Little Oreo, and they think you're talking about Blanche's granddaughter. But yeah, I have a feeling some people are often very confused by our references.
Maybe definitely for the Stan of it all. Maybe.
But I love it. I love yeah. it. I think it's all part of the fun.
I think it's part of, yeah, they're just catch up. We are a train that does not stop for anything.
Nothing.
So the women end up back in the kitchen, and mm-hmm. really the only memorable part of this vignette for me was at the very end where for some reason they just start talking about like describe your best friend. And yeah. Dorothy's like, you know, she's a woman who's confident and blah, 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 blah.
She's so and, cryptic. You know,
she's very cryptic, but also like I would be too. I don't want to start a fight.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Or do so, you? Maybe I do want to start a fight.
No, I don't want to start a fight. So this is why some people are like, I'm going to have your two best men at my wedding instead of one because I have two best friends. So Dorothy is, you know, they're trying to figure out who's Dorothy's talking about. And mm-hmm. Blanche has, it was a very surprising joke to me in the most wonderful way. So I'd like to play mm-hmm. that moment.
I've been talking about both of you. I mean, how could I choose between you two? You're both my best friends.
Dorothy, how sweet. Ooh, that just gives me a warm, tingly feeling all over. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go slip under the covers and enjoy it.
I mean, so...
Blanche!
So slutty. I love it.
Blanche is going to go into her room
mm-hmm.
and tickle her you-know-what.
You got to have friends.
And honestly, like... that's the only time that Blanche Devereaux is going to admit that friendship mm-hmm. makes her horny and turns her on because it's so fulfilling to her in her life.
Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? Oh,
it's so sweet. Honestly, Dorothy couldn't have gotten a bigger compliment from Blanche than,
I agree.
Wow, the idea of being your friend leaves me with such a tingling sensation that I have no choice but to go into my bedroom and masturbate. That's beautiful.
On that note, shall we take a break and come back with our golden take? Actually, no, we should take a break and come back with a little preview of our chat with Miss Hillary Shepherd. And then after that, we will come back with our golden takeaways.
Yes. And remember, to get the full interview, you can go to patreon.com/goldengirlspodcast and sign up for the $8 a month tier.
Oh my God. Hillary, we love you. I have to say though, I told Carrie, because Carrie was going to start things off, but I told her, I was like, wait, I have a joke. Because Hillary and Carrie are both recording from closets, And as the resident homosexual, I am the one not in a closet. Thank you. I will not go back into the closet. So you guys have fun in the closet. I will be out here in my living room.
Well, don't you know, I'm one of the first lesbians of Hollywood. Daryl and I were, and this is like, I want to say the 80s.
Daryl Hannah, we should say.
Daryl Hannah, my best friend.
For the younger people.
Listen, my daughter is gay. My other daughter is bisexual. Like, I, you know, but we actually were not lesbians. However, one of her assistants sold an article to the Star, and it was like a two-parter. And it's like, I found Daryl Hannah in bed with her beautiful best friend. Of course, and I'm like, yeah, of course, we always sleep together and whatever. So we went to try to sue them, and back then there was never a, there's never been a precedent. Carol Burnett, like 10 years later or something like that, actually sued and won, but nobody would help us. Not, we had a huge lawyer at the time, and he's like, have you ever seen each other naked? I'm like, yeah. Have you ever slept together in bed? I'm like, all the time. He's like, you don't have a case. I'm like, but it said we were soaping each other's breasts in the shower. We were not doing that.
Hillary.
So everybody in Hollywood still to this day thinks Daryl and I are.
I'm going to say up top right now, right here, I'm obsessed with you, and I have fully, I will be completely unable to be unbiased in this interview because
I have to tell you something really funny. So when I met my my husband, I call him, he's a fake husband. We've been together for, I think, 15 years. We're engaged to never be married. So my sister named him my husband. And when I met my husband, he lives in Newport Beach. I'm in LA. Don't even ask how we met. It's a whole other story. He's a surf doctor. He's like gorgeous hair down to here. The most gorgeous man you've ever seen, has no idea. And I'm like this nut job from Long Island, right? So how it works, we don't know. But when I met him, his mother pulled him aside and she's like, I'm reading this book about JFK and I just want you to know you're dating a lesbian. JFK was the beard for Daryl and Hillary. And I'm like, can I see this book? She was reading a book. And so the family, you know, 15 years later, I'm still, you know,
Wow. Confident.
So the book quoted the Star as like, you know, and then Daryl and I would be out all the time. And we were holding hands and she was grabbing me to go into a premiere. And they're like holding hands and there's JFK. And all. So now, you know, his whole family, because it was in this book and they quoted it from the Star. So even though we were going to sue the publisher, it didn't matter because they got the source from the Star. They were quoting that. But so it's hysterical. It just like never ends.
I have lots of questions about all of those things.
But we
should start with the Golden Girls, right, Carrie?
We've got to start with the Golden Girls.
Okay, go.
Hillary, did you ever realize when you got that job that the words, I'm Yvonne and this is it, were going to follow you around for the rest of your life?
Well, you know what's so strange, you guys, and you probably can't imagine this because you guys are so young.
Oh, thank you. We just look young.
In the 80s, there was no recordings. If you didn't see a TV show when you were home, you didn't see it. So, I think I had to hire somebody. Now, I don't even know if somebody was around then. Later, I never even had a copy of it because eventually you could hire this one guy in Hollywood. He was hugely obese and you go into his house, you couldn't even walk, and he had stacks and stacks of videos, and his job would be to record you as an actor when your show came on and make a tape for you. So I saw it. And, you know, I had no idea. I'd never seen the Golden Girls. Because you had to be home to watch. I was like 20 years old. I wasn't watching TV at night, you know?
Yeah, you were out lesbianing with Daryl Hannah everywhere. Yeah.
You know, I had a band. I was on the road. I had a record out. Like, you know, I had no idea. You just don't know. I mean, the bad news too is that you don't get paid like that. So all the shows that I've been on since are all on, I have 50 episodes on Netflix of the Power Rangers. I don't get a dime from that because it wasn't. Yeah. It was not, invented then. So I did not know it was going to be iconic. You hope so. I mean, as a weird kid growing up on Long Island where I was very funny looking and my sister was the gorgeous funny one and I was like the quiet one and I also was funny, but she always talked for me and I let her, you know, but I was funny on my own quiet way. I didn't really speak till she went to college, everyone says. But I drew people to me with my personality and I know I would just sit home after school and watch like Batman and want to be Catwoman and like I just wanted to be on TV so badly. My mother was a kind of, you know, the typical Jewish mom, but not in like the way where she's like, yeah, everything you do is the best. It, you know, she's like, come here, Zia, you're very green. In sixth grade, she's like, you can't go out of the house like that. I've got to put blush on you. People weren't allowed to wear makeup in the 60s to go to school in sixth grade. For me, it was mandatory. I had to wear makeup, you know. So my mother loved movie stars and loved watching TV. So I think, you know, maybe because I wanted her attention or whatever. Just being on any TV show, and I knew it was an iconic show, but I really had never seen it. You know, when people ask, you know, what's your favorite episode? I'm like, my own? I don't know. You know, because we couldn't watch stuff back then. Like
well, that. It should be your own. Let's for the record, your favorite episode of The Golden Girls should be the one should that be you your were own. On.
Yes.
And then I feel like I was on in a movie with, I think it was one of them. Was I in a movie? I don't know.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Like you obviously were living a very fancy, not fancy, but like fun Hollywood life and in a band and like you were doing different
band. I was like, I was making $50 a week for my band. And I was like, oh my God, freaking rich.
Well, but you also were like, you were doing other things and you were on, like you were acting and you were doing these things.
And
that
wasn't allowed back then.
Did you know?
Madonna was the first famous musician that was also in a movie. But when I was coming up at the same time as her, and it was really, really looked down upon. You could not do anything else, and people get very frustrated. And I had a big manager who managed my record, band career, and IRS labels that he owned, and he's the one who sent me for the audition, I think, for the Golden Girls. Like, they would send me, it was like me and Courtney Cox, they had, because Courtney was their cousin, and they had a little roster of actors, and I was also in the Groundlings doing comedy improv, and no one knew what to do with me. I can do comedy improv, I sing, I can do everything in terms of acting, and it was just like, what? Pick a lane, you know?
So when you went in for that audition, so you knew of the show, did you know B. Arthur? Did you know us?
I'd watched Maude. I loved freaking Maude. I was freaking out. I knew her the most, and Betty White. I knew Betty White from, you know, also did Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Show that I used to watch all the time. So the two of them, they were like icons to me. And I'd only seen them on TV. And they were, so I'll tell you the whole thing. I remember it really clearly because it was like one of the first like big jobs I got. And I didn't realize how big, you know, really, because I beat out a lot of people. And I remember being in my aerobics outfit and we were all there like for your callback, full aerobics outfit. I had just gone to aerobics that morning by Jane Fonda, used to teach the aerobics classes. So I'm like, Daryl and I used to go. It was on Robertson. She would teach the freaking class. So we always went to these aerobic classes together and like the step classes. So I was like, I'm just going to base it on Jane, you know?
Wow.
And so then that morning, I stayed in my outfit.
Yeah.
That was real hair.
In the audition, did you have to come up with your own moves for whirly birds, jackhammers, and windshield wipers?
Yes. I knew what they were. I did them with Jane. So I remember too, like they're like, okay, everyone can leave, but Hillary. And I was just like, yeah. And I just, it's so awful because this happened to me where I have to leave and not stay, but everyone's in their outfits and so hopeful. But I think I got a lot of jobs back then because it wasn't as iconic, so I wasn't as nervous because I also had my band. And sometimes when I get acting work, I'm like, shit, now I can't go on tour. Like, it was almost a pain in the ass to get an acting job. So I wasn't as I think the smell of desperation from actors really turns people off. So anytime I didn't really care that much. And I also didn't think I would ever get it in a million years, you know?
I feel like that's the secret sauce to landing a job is when you are like, I almost can't be bothered with this, but also I know I'm not going to get it, so I have nothing to lose. That seems to be the perfect combination for when actors land gigs.
Power Rangers, I remember I didn't know what it was. I had two daughters. They weren't watching, and I turned it on right before I went. I saw some screaming lady with a purple thing in her hair. I put a purple thing in my hair, and I got lost on the way, and I'm like, ugh, I'm never going to get it anyway. And then something inside me was like, you know what, no, turn around. Back then we had these maps. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I remember maps.
Page 34 was ripped out. That was the page it was supposed to be. You would have this guy, you know, these maps in this book, and I'm trying to get there, and I'm like, forget it, you know. And then I turned around, and the same thing, like when you think you have no chance, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt with the Golden Girls. I really did.
I'm telling you, I was obsessed with her. I am obsessed with her. I want to play games with her. I want to get coffee with her. I want to go dancing with her. I want to go knitting with her. I want to go grocery shopping with her.
Yeah, I just want to, I'm obsessed. I want to hang out with her again. And we hope that you all enjoyed this little bit of our interview with her. And you can listen more at the GGVIP Club. And in the meantime, we're going to do some golden takeaways.
Ooh, now you know that a golden takeaway is a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your life or the lives of our listeners. Carrie, what's your golden takeaway from this episode?
You sound like Blanche. Mm. By the way, those women at the very end, they're about to eat, I think, an uniced cake, which I was like, if you're gonna eat the cake, you have to ice it. Like, just take that extra step. I don't think it was an iced cake.
Some cakes are just good.
It would have been so dry.
Yeah, maybe.
Men love my cupcakes. My cupcakes are moist.
Men love my cupcakes.
My golden takeaway is I just want to put a call out to their multi-camera sitcoms. They still exist, and they're lovely, and they're wonderful, and I love them because they feel like theater, and they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Sitcoms, I want to see you do more vignette episodes. They're fun. They feel mm-hmm. different. Not flashback episodes where you show clips from old episodes, but think about how fun a vignette episode would be. So I just want to put that out into the universe. I want to see it in more multi-camera sitcoms because these vignette episodes that they did in The Golden Girls were, you know, they're great. You do little skits. It's maybe not enough for a full episode idea. They're so fun and funny. I want more.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. I love that. My golden takeaway from this episode is Hillary related. And it's just sort of like one of the most exciting things for me about coming to Los Angeles is realizing that like the people you see in commercials and like you saw die on Grey's Anatomy the night before, they're just regular people. And you see them shopping in the grocery stores or doing the things or like whatever. And for an actor like Hillary to sort of have the career that she had, and she did, she's not a massively famous person, but she worked. She worked consistently, and she was creative, and she had fun, and she had the respect of her peers, and she maintained friendships for really long periods of time, which is something in this business that is really, really, really and fucking important. And she's just sort of the example that, you know, moving to Los Angeles doesn't necessarily have to be like, oh, I'm going to get out there and be a massive star. It's like, no, most of Los Angeles is just people who love television or who love film or who love this industry and just want to be a part of it in some way. And Hillary was and is a part of it in many amazing ways. And I just love her energy and spirit.
I think that's a beautiful golden takeaway. And I feel like she would really appreciate all of that.
Mm. Oh, she's watching.
Such nice she's things. Watching.
I love it. Mm.
With all of that said, this has been another episode of Out on the Lanai. Thank you all so, so much for listening. And we will see you back here next week for more Golden Girls greatness.
And guys, remember, we're part of Mom, Moguls of Media. So go support them and Mom Plus. And you can also follow us on the socials at Golden Girls Pod on the Twitters, on Out on the Lanai on the Instagrammills, and Golden Girls Pod on the Face magazines. I'm H. Allen Scott /Sadie Pines on most things.
I love it. Please keep doing it. I don't care who tells you not to do that with the social medias. It makes me laugh every time and you change it a little bit and I love it. I'm Squidzy on Instagram and SquidEatSquid on Twitter. And if you also want to help the podcast out, you can go wherever you get a podcast. Leave us a little rating. Leave us a little review. It helps us get bumped up. More Golden Girls fans discover us.
I don't
us.
Put on this bronzer for nothing.
I've got a little bit of a lip color on. I do too.
I got a Glossier product on right now. This is expensive. Not really.
See, we're putting so much money into this. Oh my goodness.
Oh, guys, remember.
And remember.
As always. Stay golden. Friction.
9 is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, Disney, or any of its subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips of the Golden Girls are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.